Do you find it difficult to cope with the ups and downs of attracting clients in private practice? You'll have a good week that's filled with inquiries and bookings, and then a week where it seems that all you're handling is cancellations and endings. How do you cope? That's what today's episode of the Good Enough Counsellors podcast is all about. How to approach the private practice roller coaster, both practically and emotionally. Welcome to Good Enough Counsellors, the podcast for growing a private practice without the pressure to be perfect. I'm Josephine Hughes, counsellor and creator of Therapy Growth Group, helping you get the clients you want and create the practice of your dreams. In today's episode, we're talking about something that you might not want to hear about, and that's when it comes to marketing your private practice. There's no such thing as a magic wand. Sadly, however many people try to sell you quick fixes, marketing is about taking the time to understand the clients you want to attract, their concerns, what they're looking for, and how they want you to help. And that takes research, the effort to try things out, and practice to get those inquiries flowing. I think many of us hope that we only need to do one or two things, like setting up a profile or a website, maybe a few social media posts to family and friends, and that will help us to get full practice. But if you've been listening to my podcast for a while, you'll know that I think there's a lot of different moving parts to actually building a sustainable private practice. And I'm not saying that to depress you, honestly, but I do think it's important to be realistic and to acknowledge that it does take time and effort to build your business. You may know people who have made a success of it straight away, and that can inspire us and it can give us encouragement, but it can often also dishearten us as well. It's helpful to have a close look at what they're doing because it might inspire you, but I think it's worth remembering that they may well have come to the private practice enterprise with a whole different set of skills to you. They may have run a business before, for example. They may have a huge network that they can call on for referrals. They may be well known in their community, for example. And that might not be the case for you. And therefore, you're not really starting at the same place as then. And I was trying to think of a way to describe this. And the metaphor I'd like to use is, think about Usain Bolt. He's a big man with an enormous physique. He's very, very strong. And that gives him the power to break the world record. And then think of Mo Farah. Little and large, eh? Now, Mo is very different in size and stature, but he is still a record-breaking champion. It's just that they have different races to run. And maybe, you know, you'd like to just have a sprint, like Usain Bolt. But I think often what we're doing is we're actually running a marathon when we're creating our private practices. And I would say that that was true of me. I've been in private practice since 2012, and I've over time seen an increase in my income. And at the moment, I'm increasing my income every year as I get better at doing what I do. And that is what I'd like for you. And that's what we're going to talk about in this podcast today, to help you cope with the roller coaster of private practice. So let's get started. I'm going to cover how to work on your marketing in a sustainable way. So even though you haven't got that magic wand, you can still see results unfolding. And we're going to talk about how to motivate yourself and how to support yourself if you're the marathon runner rather than the sprinter. Now, why does the roller coaster happen? Well, I think what can happen is we can get busy with clients. So we do some marketing, we bring clients in, We're focused on them. We're maybe doing some CPD in order to support them. So our time is quite busy. And then those clients will work through and they'll begin to end, and we haven't been doing very much marketing recently. And then suddenly the client numbers drop, as does our stomach, and we suddenly have to think, help, I need to do some more marketing. And then what we do is, it's a bit like that expression where we throw spaghetti at the walls. We just do everything and it's not very strategic. So it's very easy to forget about your marketing when you're busy. And then when you need to do marketing, you get really scared. You try and do everything. And the problem with trying to do everything is that your effort gets diffused across all the different things you're trying to do. And you can see this perhaps on social media sometimes, where you'll get therapists who post and post and post. And then they get some clients and the posting goes right down and there'll be a big gap. And then suddenly they'll post and post and post again. But for anybody who's sort of like looking at the page and following it over time, they're not seeing that consistency. And it's the consistency. People know that you're around. They know that you're there. So it's actually better probably to do fewer posts, but do them more consistently over time, just so that people can see that you're a solid, steady presence. You're always there. You're working away. You're not in that sort of fight or flight type of situation. You're a steady, trustworthy presence. So I think it's really important to put some time aside to do your marketing every single week. And we'll talk about that a little bit in a while. But also, I think another thing that can happen is that you can get very disheartened because you don't think it's working. And I see that a lot because I work a lot with therapists who are just starting up their private practice. And I really think that it does take time to establish private practice, because what happens is you'll get a client in, that's one client. If they're a long-term client, they begin to provide you with a sort of solid foundation of a client session a week. And then you'll get another one in and then another one, and you begin to form this foundation. And then your first client might end and that takes you down a bit, but then later on they might refer someone to you or they might come back, and over time you'll find you'll get returning clients, you'll find you'll get referrals, and that means that your basic level begins to be more clients a week because you're building on your previous marketing. Whereas when you're just starting out, you know, even getting one client feels like quite a triumph, and then they finish and they think, oh no, I'm back to square one. And that's partly why the roller coaster can happen. And it's also why you can see people who've been in private practice for longer than you, who seem to be a bit more stable in the number of clients that they're bringing in. And that is just that people have got to know them. People are returning. People are referring. Friends and family maybe know that they've been in this job for a while and are making referrals. So it all builds up. That's what I'm trying to say. But when you're starting out, you're actually really trying to get going and you haven't got much traction yet. So it does take time and it does take patience. And what it takes is consistency and keeping going and a commitment to keep going on your marketing. I know it's disheartening when it doesn't seem to work at first, but you just have to keep trying. And it's not a binary thing. It's not success or failure. It's seeing it as, okay, so I've written a profile and this profile doesn't really seem to be working. So then it's revisiting the profile. It's thinking about, how can I change it? What can I do to it? Do I need to go out and do some more research? Do I need to speak to people and find out what they would be looking for in terms of a therapist? Especially if you've, say, got a niche, you could talk to people who are in that niche and find out what sort of things they're looking for. Find out where they hang out. Who do they talk to? How do they find out stuff about their particular situation? What do they want to get out of counselling? These sort of conversations can be really useful. So, you know, it's a bit like pin the tail on the donkey when you're blindfolded. When you first start out, you're blindfolded and you've got this pin and you sort of know the general direction where you want to pin the tail, but you're a bit searching around in the dark. But over time, you begin to see a bit more and then you can be more accurate in your marketing. But the only way that you are going to learn these lessons is by actually trying and not seeing it as failure, seeing it as information. So if something doesn't work, that's information for you, and you can recover, you can tweak, you can change, you can do something different to try and meet what people are looking for. This is what I help people with in Therapy Growth Group, because you're finding a niche can be quite difficult. And sometimes you may be, you know, really committed to your niche, but it's the way you've expressed it. And sometimes I can help you to express it in a way that lands better with clients. And that's often what I help people with in Therapy Growth Group. So the thing about marketing is your momentum doesn't come from that great big push that you do at the start where you set up your profile and you set up your website. You've got to keep going. You've got to keep learning. I think it's not just a one and done situation. It's continuous improvement. And don't look to make massive, huge improvements. The British cycling team became very successful because they looked for marginal improvements. Even things like, could we make the van that carries the bikes in a little bit cleaner so that dirt doesn't get into the mechanism, for example? Just little things that could make a small difference, but those add up. So it's thinking about, you know, how can I make a little difference here? How can I make a little difference there? Because all those little differences that you're doing do add up. And I get that it's frustrating. I get if you've resigned your work or you're dependent on getting an income from private practice, this startup phase can be really, really difficult. Something that I found really helpful was the advice that I received from my mentor, and she said, don't expect to make any money in the first 6 months. And that may be a bit shocking, it may be a bit depressing, but actually I found it quite reassuring. And it was also managing my expectations. I found it reassuring because it meant that I could relax, knowing that I didn't have to put myself under pressure, didn't need to put the pressure on my private practice. I was just going to work away with it, and maybe after 6 months I'd begin to turn a profit. And it also, as I say, managed my expectations, because I think we can get very disappointed. We can read how everybody else is doing. Now, some people will come into the Facebook groups and they'll talk about how they started and they've already had 12 inquiries in the first week. That is brilliant, but they're probably one of the equivalents of Usain Bolt, whereas you might be a Mo Farah. So it's very discouraging. But I think have the expectation that this is going to take time, it's going to take understanding, it's going to take effort to learn how to do it. And if you go in with that expectations, I think it's much more realistic, and it supports you and gives you the mental resilience to actually cope with some of those ups and downs. Something else I just wanted to mention as well is that while actually getting inquiries is obviously the outcome measure that we're looking for, and ultimately it's how we measure whether or not we're doing is working, there's also something else that I think you really need to focus on. And this is to stop you from tearing your hair out. And this is to actually look at what you're doing and acknowledge the effort that you're making. Because it's so easy to get discouraged, to think to yourself, well, you know, obviously I'm just no good at this because it's not working. Forgetting that sometimes there might be external factors as to why it's not working. For example, you could create the most fabulous profile, but if you're lingering at the bottom of a great long list of counsellors on Counselling Directory, and, you know, I've been there on page 20, for example, not many people are going to find you at that point. So you can think it's you. Sometimes it's not you at all. It's factors outside your control. Rather than thinking, oh, you know, I might as well just give up, it's thinking about, you know, what am I actually doing to make sure that people get to see me? And you can acknowledge the things that you're doing, little moments where you do things, like you might let a friend know, that you're in private practice. You might pin a leaflet up in your local Tesco's, which is one of my Therapy Growth Group members does. And I go, every time I go into Tesco's, I look for it and I pin it to the top of the board again. You can take little steps, and each of those little steps will actually add up. So acknowledge the steps that you take, and you don't need to have a huge amount of time every day to dedicate to your marketing. And in my 12 action steps to attract new clients that's in Therapy Growth Group, I actually give people just 15 minutes a week ideas. So I don't like to challenge you too much, but surely you could fit 15 minutes a week in, however busy you are. So little changes, incremental improvements actually do add up. I mean, for me, I get a kick out of how many podcast episodes I've done. And it is absolutely exciting and lovely to see that my download numbers are going up and more people are listening to the podcast and I'm getting feedback, which is wonderful. Keep it coming. Not that I'm narcissistic or anything, but you know, it really is great to see that. But ultimately, you know, why do I do it? I do it because it really fits in with what I want to be doing. It fits in with my mission. And I think being able to come back to your why, you know, why am I doing this marketing? That can really help you, because you can think to yourself, you know, I'm doing it to try and reach out to people. And when you're disheartened, it can really help you to think about the people that you're trying to reach. And sometimes that can give you, it takes you out of yourself. And it gives you a chance to think, you know, how can I help these people? How can I reach them? And sometimes when we get into the doldrums with our marketing, it's all about how we don't feel good enough. We're rubbish. Everyone else is better than us. And we really get stuck in that pity party. But sometimes, you know, just shifting gear and thinking to yourself, you know, what help do people actually need from me today? What could I do today to reach out and help somebody? That can often just shift your brain and you'll move into a completely different gear and you'll do something that really works. So, you know, if you're stuck in that place at the moment, yeah, be kind to yourself. Give yourself something nice. Look after you, do something that completely and utterly is switched off from marketing. And I think you might find that that then helps you get out of that place where you're feeling so down. And it brings you into a different place where you can think about the people who you want to help. And an idea about how to help them might just suddenly pop into your brain. When we're in a place where we're relaxed and calm, we're open to opportunity, and often something will just pop up in front of us. Try it, see if it works. So let's have a little think now about what regular marketing could actually look like. What could you do in your 15 minutes a week? Well, I'm not suggesting that you can write a blog in 15 minutes a week. It certainly would take me a bit longer than that. It takes me longer to write a social media post. I'm so slow. But you know, have a think. Perhaps you could do a blog a month, one blog a month, and that blog could be turned into social media posts, for example. You could repurpose the blog. You could have it on social media. You could have it on LinkedIn. You could change it slightly, put it on counselling directory as an article. You could share it locally as an article if you've got some sort of magazine that you could use. You could share it into a Facebook group. So there's different things that you can do with one piece of content. And it's about being realistic. At the moment, I am very, very productive with my podcast because I'm making space for it, because I've got that time to do it. And obviously, I love it and it's a passion project. So you know, I'm doing a podcast a week. That is a huge, huge commitment. And so it's about being realistic as to what you can actually do. How can I fit this in? Can I make some space in my diary for my marketing? And you've probably heard me say this before, but if you're planning to see 8 clients a week and you haven't got 8 clients, you've got 0 clients, you've actually got 8 hours that you could dedicate to your marketing. That's quite a lot, actually. You could do a blog a week if you had 8 hours a week. But I think it's really important for you in setting realistic targets is also to be realistic about how far you can stretch yourself. And I think, as I said earlier, what can happen is we get panicky and then we just try and throw everything at the wall just to see what sticks. But actually, that doesn't really provide a clear signal to our clients. So I would suggest doing one thing at a time. So if you've got 8 hours a week, you could choose, you know, how do I want to use this 8 hours a week? Am I going to do blogging? Am I going to do networking? Am I going to do social media? Those are just 3 examples of things you could think about. Make a decision about what you want to focus on. And then focus on that. And that can be very difficult for people with ADHD because, you know, bright, shiny object syndrome, the excitement of doing something new. And then when it gets sort of sludgy and difficult and it feels like you're wading through mud, another bright, shiny object will attract you and you'll think, oh, I'll go and do that. But actually, you know, working through and trudging through actually does bring its own rewards. And you can do things like, you know, notice what you're doing, ticking things off as you go, because that can help you to feel that you're actually getting there. And I'd say the same is true with your niche. If you're going to have a niche, give it time to settle. And people look at profiles, for example, and then they will come back to the profile. They'll go away and they'll come back. They'll go away and they'll come back. And you might not get someone who's coming through on your profile for months. I mean, you know, it can take a year or more for people to actually get in touch, for them to feel like now is the time. So I wouldn't suggest that you keep chopping and changing around your niche. Yeah, you can sort of test things out, but don't change things too much all the time, because I think that doesn't give people a clear signal about who you are and what you're doing. And if they see you one week and you're doing one thing and then they see you a few weeks later and you're doing something else, it doesn't really build up that trust, does it? So try and be consistent, because that does build trust. One of the other things I sort of talk about is that if you go onto your counselling directory profile or any profile, in fact, I think there's a real advantage to just updating them on a fairly regular basis. I think it's worth checking your profile, maybe making a few tweaks to it so that it's always up to date and the search engines know it's fresh material, and that's going to help the search engines direct more people to your profile. I think as well, think about what you're going to post in local Facebook groups. And do that on a regular basis as well. But how can you make marketing a habit? Now, I've mentioned that I'm podcasting every week and that that's quite a heavy job for me to do, because it does take up quite a bit of time. So how do I do it? And especially someone who's not the most incredibly organised person, and who is easily distracted as well. I thought I'd share a little bit about this, because this might encourage any of you who look at it and think, I don't think I've got time to do things. I don't think that I can manage to do my marketing every week. I don't think I can make it into a habit. Well, the first thing that I do is I do have a set day where I focus on my podcasting, and I have a plan of what I'm going to do. So I look ahead and I work out what's coming up so that I can fit my social media, which is my podcasting, in with a plan according to the year, what's coming up in the seasons, what's coming up in my business. And that helps me to plan as well. And having that regularity, having that forward plan really does help me, because it means that I'm not reinventing the wheel every time I sit down to do my podcast. I've got a sense of direction. But actually, you know, planning isn't something that I'm very good at. And so what I do now is I do actually have conversations with AI to help me break down what I'm doing as a plan. So if you're like me and you find it difficult to work out what steps you need to take, you could use AI to actually help you with those steps. And I find it quite useful from that point of view. It'll also give me ideas as well. So that might put me out of a job. You may never come back and listen to my podcasts again because you'll ask AI for them. But anyway, I do find it a useful tool to help me with my planning. And then having steps that I need to take, I can pop that into my diary, and I have an hour's planning session every Monday morning. I'll sit down for an hour. I get quite distracted to it. I must admit, catching up with morning Facebook posts and stuff like that normally. But I do put that time aside, and I do have a list of what I want to get done that week. So that maybe that's something you could do. You could almost sort of see your marketing as a bit like getting your admin done. And what I do with Therapy Growth Group is I give them times during the week where they can come in and do that. So at the moment, we've got a Tuesday afternoon. People are using that for CPD, but also for writing their accreditation. Someone came in today and was catching up with some admin. And I also do it on a Wednesday morning. That's every week you can come in and you could spend time working on your stuff. And I do get people who come in every week, and that is their dedicated marketing time. It just helps to have that regularity there. You can put it in your diary. You can move appointments around it, and then you've got that time where you know that's where you're going to be working on your stuff. And if you've got a plan, you also know what you're going to be working on. But fear not, if you haven't got a plan, you can come in and you can follow the 12 action steps, and that'll give you 12 weeks of plan to do. So, you know, if you don't know what to do, I've got it there in Therapy Growth Group. So diarize it. It doesn't need to take an enormous amount of creative effort every time. Because if you sit yourself down and say, right, now you're going to work out what you're going to write in your blog, your poor little brain is just going to run a mile, and it's going to go into hiding because it feels under too much pressure. The times when I have my best ideas, I can be sitting in front of my computer and then I think, you know, I haven't moved for a while, I need to get up, I'll just go and do some washing up, or I'll go and tidy up, put the milk bottles out or something like that. And literally within 3 or 4 minutes, an idea will just pop into my head because I'm not focusing, I'm not forcing my brain into, you've got to do this. And you know what our thoughts are like, they'll wander all around the houses and suddenly you'll just have this idea just pop into your head. So marketing can be a great way of getting housework done. And, you know, I'll often do something, I'll go and hang the washing up before I write my emails. I'll often do a bit of housework, and it's during that time where I'm just doing something that's fairly mindless but does involve movement, which I think is important. You know, I'll get the ideas that way. So, you know, don't force yourself. Give your brain a chance to work. And it might be that you're not thinking about your marketing at all. You're cooking the dinner or you're doing some washing up. At some point, you're doing something else. And you'll have a fantastic idea for a blog. Or you'll have a fantastic idea for a social media post. You don't need to go and write that blog at that precise moment. Have somewhere where you can write it down. And I often find that I get an idea and it's like really burning inside me and I want to publish it. I want to do it. I want to do it now. And sometimes it's just about write it down. And what I find is if I've got it written down, that does calm my nervous system and it's captured it and I can come back to it later. And I found this really, really useful. I mentioned earlier about doing one thing. Work on one thing at a time. And your brain will just be longing to go off. It's like a little lamb in the spring. We're sort of bouncing around in the field. Your brain's bouncing around and thinking, I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to do the other. No, write it down. You can come back to it and it'll be fresh. It'll be lovely. You'll be ready to work on at a later date. Yeah, so just make it a habit. Do things like, you know, have a templates, for example. They can be really useful. I am working at the moment on trying to improve the way I do my podcast. So at the moment, you know, I'll record the podcast, go off for editing, it'll come back from editing, and then I might write the show notes. I try and write the blog now on the same day as I'm writing the show notes. And then recently, I realised that I should be writing the social media posts at the same time, because it's all part of the same ecosystem. You don't forget in between. So like today, I've been listening to Yvonne's podcast that came out, I think, a couple of weeks ago. When you listen to this, it will have come out. I've been listening to it before it comes out as I'm recording this, and just listening to it and hearing about some of the stuff she said, I now need to capture that and I can start turning that into social media posts. Whereas if I wait for another week or so, it won't be fresh in my brain. So sometimes, you know, it's about working out what works well together and having a task, having a way that you do things, and that will help you to be more efficient and use your time more effectively. So have a system. That's the word I'm looking for. I'm trying to work on my podcast system at the moment. And what I was thinking is that it's really useful if you're on Facebook to post into local Facebook groups. And they, all of them, they're so different. And people say, how can I get my post into a community group? They turn it down. And as a Facebook group owner, I know that I've got specific days for people to post particular things into the group. And quite a lot of the time we spend moderating is that people don't read the rules. It's not their fault, really. It's because it's really difficult to find the rules. But, you know, see if you can find the rules for each Facebook group that you want to post into. Do some research, find out when they let you do the post, and then put it in your diary and have the post ready. So you might sort of at the beginning of the month write a post that you're going to post in the different groups, and then you've got in your diary the days you're going to do it. Someone who's very good at doing that is, give her a shout out, is Samantha Lee, who advertises her Inner Child course. And every single day of the week, she will put a post in a different Facebook group. It's the same post. It's getting longer every time because she keeps getting so many wonderful reviews. But, you know, she's very, very steady about that. And that has been really beneficial to the sales of that particular product that she's got, her Inner Child course. And I wanted to mention here Rachel Radford Counselling. Now, Rachel was in my therapy growth group several years ago now. And one of the things I remember Rachel saying is that she worked out the content pillars for her Facebook page. So the content pillars are the things where you think to yourself, you know, I'm going to have a post every week about self-care. So Rachel sorted out four different content pillars, one of which was self-care. I remember her talking about that. And then what she did is she posted four times a week, one post for each of those content pillars. And she did that consistently over time. So in closing, let's just have a think about what I've said. You may not be Usain Bolt. You may not be a sprinter. Your private practice may not be a sprint. You may be like me, who's considerably bigger than Mo Farah probably, but you may be like little Mo Farah, but who is still an amazing runner. It's just that he's built differently and he does a different sort of race. Don't put too many expectations on yourself. Don't be sad if your private practice doesn't take off straight away. If you put in that consistent work, that consistent step-by-step approach, you will get there. Keep going. Try and think about what you're doing in terms of your inputs. Don't just measure your success by the number of clients that you're getting in. Measure your success also by what you're doing. And make that a regular weekly habit. However you do it, I've come up with some of the ways that work for me. You'll have other ways that work for you. But make it a regular commitment, something that you're going to do day in, day out, because that ultimately is what makes a difference in the long term. The more visible you are, because you're doing your marketing regularly, the more likely you are to get clients. If this episode has got you thinking about how to make marketing part of your weekly routine without it taking over your life, then Therapy Growth Group is the perfect place to start. Inside the group, I'll work with you step by step on your marketing so that it feels consistent and sustainable, not overwhelming. You'll find training templates and our 12 action steps program to attract new clients, and that'll help to guide you. Plus, we've got live sessions where we work together each week, and those really help to turn your good intentions into habits. And if you join now, you're going to be in time for our Make Your Profile Work intensive at the beginning of November. It's a whole week dedicated to writing and improving your directory profile with daily feedback and encouragement. You can find all the details and join us at josephinehughes.com. Just go to the front page and follow the link to Therapy Growth Group. I'd love to welcome you inside. Thanks so much for listening, and I'll see you again next week. Thanks for listening. Do come and join my Facebook community, Good Enough Counsellors. And for more information about how I can help you develop your private practice, please visit my website, josephinehughes.com. If you found this episode helpful, I'd love it if you could share it with a fellow therapist or leave a review on your podcast app. And in closing, I'd love to remind you that every single step you make gets you closer to your dream. I really believe you can do it.